KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Pete Seeger Tribute and Sing-Along on Saturday, May 3rd, from 3 to 10 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. On what would have been Pete Seeger's 95th birthday, his life and legacy will be honored with song, remembrances, and a talk by Joe Hickerson. Again, that's Saturday, May 3rd, at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. 10 days ago, in my report to the nation on Vietnam, I announced the decision.
I'm Jimmy Tardy. Join myself, S. Brian Wilson, and Mike Hasty as we speak with Joe Lewis, survivor of the Kent State shootings. That's on the anniversary of Nixon's announcement of the expansion of the Vietnam War into Laos and Cambodia. The protests at Kent State followed that announcement, and we'll talk with Joe about that day and what it means.
That's Wednesday, April 30th from 11 a.m. until noon.
Now, unfortunately, while we deeply sympathize with the plight of 7 million Cambodians whose country has been invaded,
the time is 6:01, and you're listening to KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM Community Radio. Up next is Labor Radio at 6, and at 6:30 it is Prison Pipeline, followed by Hard Knock Radio at 7. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Redirect Guide, committed to promoting progressive regional businesses based upon the values of sustainability, localism, and social justice. Complete business directory and resource guide can be found online at redirectguide.com.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, and this is Labor Radio. My name's Megan Heiss, and I'll be your host for the next half hour. Thanks for listening. If you like our show tonight, feel free to find us on Facebook at Labor Radio on KBOO. Witness for Peace is organizing a May delegation to Colombia to accompany a historic struggle. We spoke with Amy Truax, Northwest Field Coordinator for Witness for Peace, about what's going on.
Buenaventura is a city on the Pacific coast of Colombia. And it is the most dangerous city in Colombia, which is already an incredibly dangerous country. They have an extremely high rate of poverty. It's a predominantly Afro-Colombian community, about 80% Afro-Colombian. About 50% of people are unemployed. And they are responding to this through a civil strike against the violence that they experience, as well as the displacement that they experience at the hands of state actors, corporations who want to expand the port, and narco-traffickers who use violence and terror to encourage people to leave the city.
So what's going on right now that's bringing these popular movements together for the civil strike?
What we've seen in over the last few years, especially since the U.S. and Colombia passed the free trade agreement a few years ago, we've seen just a huge, you know, even bigger outpouring of protest against the sort of economic violence that people are experiencing. Last year, there was a huge paro agrario, like agrarian strike of farmers and agricultural workers who were dumping oranges and produce in the streets in protest against, you know, the fact that they can't survive off of what they're getting for their products. So I think that, you know, Buenaventura is probably somewhat inspired by that, just that across the country there, people are standing up to say no to the sort of neoliberalism that we've seen coming out of the United States and the sort of center-right or right-wing government in Colombia. And in fact, there looks like there's going to be another paro agrario starting on May 1st. which I think will be another source of inspiration for the people in Buenaventura. And also, too, the other thing is that conditions in Buenaventura are just worsening, just getting worse and worse. So I think, you know, they're working together to try to put an end to the violence that they're experiencing that is just amplifying.
What is the delegation about, and why is it important for folks from the United States to accompany struggles like the one you're describing, and how can people get involved?
Yeah, so what Witness for Peace does and what our purpose of these delegations are is really to show the effects that U.S. policies have on other countries. You know, here, labor folks here in the U.S. fight against free trade agreements. We fight against the TPP, and there's a real need for international solidarity for folks who do the work here to see the effects that it also has on people in other countries. So Colombia specifically, again, they have this free trade agreement with the United States. There was a labor action plan that was supposed to, you know, mitigate some of the labor issues in Colombia before the free trade agreement took effect. It's been 3 years since the labor action plan was implemented, and we really haven't seen any changes. Colombia is still the most dangerous country in the world to be a trade unionist. Unionists are killed, threatened. There was recently a bombing at a major union office. So that's the work that we do. And at this particular time, the reason we're going down now is because of the civil strike in Buenaventura. Some folks may remember last fall in October, I did a speaking tour with John Jairo Castro Balanta, who's an Afro-Colombian labor organizer in Buenaventura, the president of his port workers union. And, you know, they're on the Pacific coast. It's the same shipping containers, the same companies that come to Portland, you know, that we're engaged in struggle with here locally. So there's a real, you know, chance for amazing international solidarity work to happen along sort of these same coastlines. And as well, another reason for this particular time is that there's the Colombian presidential election is happening on May 25th. For folks who want to stay to experience that, you have the option of staying for just a week and going to Buenaventura and some of the other places, or you can stay a couple extra days to experience the presidential election. And we're also, while we're in Colombia, we are going to be in Bogota, and we're going to speak with the workers of Azutricol, the injured GM workers, and we're also going to meet sugarcane cutters, corteros, who are organizing in Valle del Cauca, who are another really amazing labor movement. A few of them were just at the Labor Notes Conference in Chicago. So it's just a really, really important time to be witnessing what's going on and help provide international accompaniment and international solidarity for the people of Colombia who are just really in struggle right now. And if you want to get involved, you can just go to witnessforpeace.org, and from there you can figure out how to apply if you click on Travel with Us.
And you can find links to the resources mentioned on this program at our Facebook page, Labor Radio on KABU. We are speaking with Arun Gupta by phone. Thanks for being on the show.
Hi, thank you. Great to be on.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. So you recently moved to Portland and you're working on a project?
Well, I am a journalist. I write on a lot of different topics, including organized labor for outlets like The Guardian, The Progressive, and These Times, Al Jazeera America. I'm also the co-founding editor of the independent newspaper in New York and the Occupied Wall Street Journal. And I recently did a large in-depth study called The Walmart Working Class that appeared in a book that just came out called Registering Class as the lead essay, in which I look at the conditions, working and living conditions of Walmart workers across the country.
And so you'll be speaking at an event, on a panel event with other authors on Wednesday, May 7th, and talking about this book.
Well, it's a great opportunity for us to talk about the state of labor in the 21st century, the organizing that's going out there, the opportunities and the challenges. Because also in the last few years, in 2011, I covered the Occupy movement across the United States for Salon and a number of other outlets. And since then, I've done seven cross-country road trips. And I've talked to workers all across the country. So I feel like at this point I have a good sense on the type of organizing that's going on out there, but also really just the enormous challenges faced by any sort of worker campaign in terms of trying to get economic and social justice, especially around the fundamental issue of redistributing wealth and income.
Union density, as we all know, is down to 8% in the private sector. We do see that low-wage workers are coming together to fight back. We've seen the fast food worker strikes kind of generate the conditions for new living wage ordinances, $15 an hour in SeaTac, and now they're pushing for that in Seattle. Do you see where this is going, or do you have any prescriptions?
Yeah, I think the critical ingredient is the role of the left. You know, in terms of one of the struggles that really, I think, gave people a lot of hope, that was the Chicago Teachers Union strike in the fall of 2012 that was successful, that did beat back, you know, all the take-backs and attempts to impose a poor contract on the teachers. And the left was very active in that. In Portland, we also just saw the teachers union here beat back an attempt to really impose a poor contract on them, and they were even able to get a large increase in the number of teachers. And they really did it because they had a vision, because they mobilized the community. That was the same thing in Chicago. In Seattle, of course, the fight there is being led by Socialist Alternative, a left organization whose candidate Shama Savant was elected to the city council last year, and she was elected on a platform of a $15 an hour minimum wage. So I think, you know, the real critical ingredient is the left, right? Because labor has the muscle, but it's the left that is the brains, essentially. It's the left that has the vision, that is thinking beyond mere membership or trade unionism. You know, it's the left that also is fundamentally challenging the hegemony of capital. And, you know, it's not a criticism of unions. It's just a simple fact that most of them are content to basically form an alliance with corporations because that's where they see their interests lie. But it's the left that has a much more developed critique of corporations, and you know, will say that, you know, it's not just about wages. This is fundamentally about challenging the dominance of capital over all aspects of our lives. So, you know, through the role of the left and through community organizing and mobilizing huge sections of the community, I think that's the only way that you can beat the power of these corporations.
And certainly expand your relevance. Before we end, I guess, who would you like to come to this event? Who's this event for on Wednesday, May 7th?
Well, certainly anyone interested in these issues about income inequality and in terms of worker organizing, but really these are about community issues. So I would encourage everyone to come out, and we have a great panel. We're going to have a great discussion and debate, and of course are very much open to different perspectives and talking about, you know, how do we move towards a more just society and not one in which is essentially an oligarchy.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
At the Labor Notes Conference in Chicago earlier this month, I got to check out a group called Tech 22. They work at Brooklyn Cable Vision, where in January of 2012, 280 workers voted to join CWA Local 1109. Check out this song by Tech 22. It's called We Are the Union.
I'm a proud new member of CWA 1109, Brooklyn, New York.
just full of corruption. Now it's time for the 99, cause we're drinking quarter waters and Dolan sipping wine. They talk about strikes and union dues, but they have no answers for the real issues, like a livable wage and enough sick days, a pension plan for the retirement age. We are the UNION, and we're taking a stand, and we're organizing. We're taking control of our destiny, like a fearless lion. You can't mess with me, cause we have the right to organize. So don't get deceived by the fear and lies. They try to be slick and offer us bribes and ask for second chances, just like the wolf cries.
One day stronger.
Bargain together, more strength in numbers, true solidarity. This is my family, this is our destiny. Voted on the 26th in the month of January. We made history, we achieved victory. Special thanks to Joe Biden in D.C., Al Sharpton, Bertha Lewis, Hakeem Jeffries. We occupy Wall Street. We are the 99% of the workers who trying to live right. So we formed a committee, Thursdays with the red team. So a strong unity, this is now reality. I'm not going away, that's the slogan I say when they try to put fear in me. Stop. CWA, red band on the right hand, 1109, UNION.
One day stronger, another day longer. We stand together, we are the union. One day stronger, another day longer. We stand together, we are the union.
I'll be a pain in the colon for your boy Jimmy Dolan. His pockets are swollen, reaping what my labor's sowing. We face irregularities with solidarity, collectively bargaining to gain some clarity. We're living in poverty, it's really bothering me. We're going to the table to end this policy. United we stand, divided we beg. I'm just a finger in the fist over your head.
Check it, here I stand like MLK, like Harriet Tubman in the slavery days. Here I stand with the underground movement, going against currents, fighting for improvement. This how we do it, making all the sacrifice, living in darkness. We finally see the light, CWA, we have overcome, divided we beg, together we bargain.
United we stand, divided we beg, we are the union.
Church.
My respect, my dignity, we are the union.
Despite harassment and intimidation, they heard you in Brooklyn.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. And that was Tech 22, We Are the Union, about Brooklyn Cablevision workers who organized in early 2012 with CWA Local 1109. Since then, Cablevision has pulled out all the stops, harassing and firing workers for union activity and dragging their feet at the bargaining table. The workers are organizing for safer working conditions, better health care coverage, and a real retirement. You can support them all the way from Portland by going to www.thecablevision99.org. Great. Well, I am in studio with Johanna Brenner, local community activist, retired professor of women's studies and sociology. She writes about feminist theory and politics. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You will be on a panel with Steve Early and Arun Gupta next Wednesday, May 7th. And what will you be contributing to the panel?
Well, the topic of my talk is organizing the working class. What does feminism have to do with it? I also want to mention that joining us to introduce the panel will be Gwen Sullivan, the president of the Portland Association of Teachers. So we'll be 50-50 women, which I think is always important, and for feminist organizing.
That's great.
I'll be talking about what I think the role of feminist thinking and about strategy has to offer the union movement and other movements of the 21st century. One of the things that I think is sort of both exciting and scary about this time, I think it's fair to say it's the best of times and the worst of times, is that at the same instance that unions are very much on the defensive, you mentioned that the private sector now's density is 7%. The public sector, of course, is much better. The working class has been transformed over the last several decades, and today we could say that the working class in the United States, and now I'm thinking of people working class in terms of people who actually are in paid work, because if you think of the working class more broadly, women have always worked in the working class, is that it's more female, it's more people of color, and it's definitely more immigrant. And today, more than half of all immigrants to the United States, including particularly undocumented workers, are women. And that's because of changes in our economy, moving to more of a service economy, and also changes in the situation of the working class, where the male breadwinner household is a thing of the past because of this assault on the unions, because of this assault on the working class. So women are playing a much more important role in the economy, in the paid economy, in their own homes as earners. And so their presence in the working class in terms of people ready to organize and be organized is sort of historically new for the United States. There are, of course, women of color, black women have always had to work more than white women in working class families. But even so, today, many, many more women are dependent on their earnings. And that means they're available to be part of a transformed union movement. So that makes it the best of times. But we need to bring a new kind of politics and strategic thinking into that movement if we're going to take advantage of this new potential.
That's interesting. So we were just speaking with Arun Gupta about some of the low-wage worker organizing that's been really exciting. And we know the face of low-wage workers is, like you said, more and more women of color. How does recognizing that and how does seeing the leadership, you mentioned Gwen Sullivan's going to be introducing the panel. We've seen amazing leadership from women in the labor movement via these teacher struggles. So how does seeing the role of women in the workplace and the representation of women in the working class, how does seeing that change or how should that change our politics?
Well, I want to say that I think that when it comes to feminism, and I come from a socialist feminist perspective, which means that we think class is extremely fundamental, but we also think that it intersects with other important dimensions of oppression like race and ethnicity, immigrant status, as well as gender and sexuality. So in some sense, feminism requires us to think about the whole person. So when we think about workers, I think historically union organizers have thought about a worker as a worker. And what he does at work is how you appeal to him, what you talk to him about, his role as a breadwinner or his role as a supporter of his family is what comes first. So we don't think about his other responsibilities, the other work that he does, because he doesn't do that much of it. But women who work for pay do. And women's responsibility for caring labor, whether that labor is paid caring work, women are the majority of most of the caring professions still. 76% of school teachers are women. Public school teachers are women. Nurses, 90-some percent. So, nurses' aides, domestic workers, house cleaners, servers, all of these service jobs that have to do with relating to people are done by women. So women are involved in caring labor in two ways. First, because of the responsibilities for care of people in their families, for their neighbors, for their own children. Caring is a responsibility that really travels with a woman throughout her whole life cycle. And so that means that the relations of care are central to women wherever they're located. So one of the things that I think a feminist perspective has brought into labor organizing is to say that when we think about our role as workers, what we really need to define ourselves as in relation to the people with whom we work. Most service workers, and this includes many male workers, such as, say, bus drivers, are doing jobs where they're not just producing a widget. You know, they're in relationship, and they are in some ways in a caring relationship. Nobody necessarily wants to recognize that. The idea is, oh, you're a bus driver, so all you do is you have to operate a bus. But in fact, bus drivers have to do a lot of care work, if you think of emotional work and interacting with people who are distressed, who are angry that the bus was late. So bringing out that aspect of work is something that I think helps us to broaden how we organize. So one of the things that was interesting to me about a recent bus driver strike in Burlington that was very successful, by the way, was reported in Labor Notes, which is a great publication, is that the bus drivers organize their strike around the issues of their split shifts and long hours and the fact that they're tired and cranky and that they're unsafe and that they can't serve the public the way they should be able to. That, I think, is something that wouldn't have happened a few years ago. And that, I think, is one of the things that coming out of the teachers' unions and coming out of those early unions that have understood the need to make, like the nurses, like home care workers, to make a connection with the people they serve in order to gain power, been a really creative step for the labor union. And I think it comes out of socialist feminists' analyses and insights that have been brought into labor organizing, first through some of these organizations that are predominantly organizing women workers.
So it's almost like we could look at women's multiple roles in the economy as a liability, but instead it can be leveraged to really be a strength in our movement, as you mentioned, with this new social justice unionism that embraces relationships, knits them together, and we're stronger because we're working together in coalition.
Yeah, I think that's really, thank you for summarizing that so well.
Do you want to just remind our listeners about the event details?
Yeah, well, I also wanted to say we're very grateful that this is sponsored by KBOO as a fundraiser. It's free admission, but we will be asking for donations, and thank you, KBOO. But also the Women, Gender, Sexuality Studies program at Portland State is our co-sponsor, and we're really pleased to be working with them. The event is going to be a panel presentation and discussion Wednesday, May 7th from 7:15 to 9:30 at Portland State University, Smith Center, room 238. And we're starting at 7:15 because after 7 o'clock, parking is free in the PSU parking structures. So we hope it'll be easy for people to get there. And again, we're very grateful to Gwen Sullivan, president of the Portland Association of Teachers, for agreeing to open the forum. Speakers will be Steve Early, a writer and journalist and activist, How Unions Organize to Win, Arun Gupta, the Walmart working class, and me, organizing the working class. What does feminism have to do with it?
Sounds like a great event. I'll be there.
Thanks.
Take care, Johanna. That's it for this edition of Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. here on KBOO. Next up, Prison Pipeline. Don't change that dial.
Gandhi said the roots of your destiny are in your beliefs.
Join Prison Pipeline on May 12th for a one-hour special called This I Believe.
We are women sharing deeply held beliefs that guide our lives. We are women incarcerated at Coffee Creek Correctional Facility.
Tune in to Prison Pipeline, May 12th, 6 to 7 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Momenta, Monday, April 28th at the Clinton Street Theater. Momenta is a film and a movement to educate, raise awareness, and activate communities to stop all proposed coal exports in the Pacific Northwest. There will be a raffle after the film and a Q&A with people from the film. Again, that's Monday, April 28th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is looking for a membership director. Duties include database management, conducting mailings, producing reports, assisting members managing pledge drives, and, of course, working closely with other staff members here at the station. The ability to work with numerous people in a fast-paced environment is essential. This is a mix of part-time and full-time work, with 40 hours per week being required leading up to, during, and following each membership drive. A full benefit package is included. KBOO is an equal opportunity employer and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Our organization does not discriminate on the basis of age, race, religion, color, sex, national origin, marital status, sexual orientation, class, creed, physical or mental disability. For a more detailed job description and printable job application, go to kboo.fm, search for hiring, H-I-R-I-N-G. And to apply, please send a resume via email to hiring, H-I-R-I-N-G.